401 to Unit 29B, wagon call, Main and Venice Boulevard. Main and Venice.
5-6 to 1, starting mileage 11,930. 11930.
1 to 5-6, mileage 11,930. 6:08 p.m., Detective Unit 5-6 in service on the night watch.
This is Don Reed, police recorder. You're riding in a detective unit. Radio buried in glove compartment. Both of us in civilian clothes. No identification as a police car. Driving, Sergeant Ron Perkins. This is Detective Unit 5-6. Now, while you're with us tonight...
5-6 to 1.
5-6, go ahead.
5-6, will you notify Madlock and Southwick in burglary? And when they're clear and ready to pick up that burglary suspect, we'll roll with them. We'll be on the air until then.
5-6-10-4, we'll notify. 5-6, car 4-2 is on an inliner call. We're unable to contact them. 3918 Burley Lane, will you follow up?
5-6, roger.
We'll roll on that inliner call, and we're standing by on a burglary deal. So we could be pretty busy tonight. But as I was saying, while you're with us, remember, the people you meet are not actors. You see, this is it. This is real. This is Night Watch.
Night Watch, the actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound is authentic. Wherever Detective Unit 5-6 is called, you follow as the official police recorder transcribes the investigations. Night Watch is presented by CBS through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California. W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We transfer you now to Detective Unit 5-6, operating somewhere in the field, and to police recorder Don Reed.
Following up now on that inlater call. Radio car across the street. In front, a respirator truck from the fire department. Fireman from the rescue squad on the radio.
Fire rescue dispatcher 4. This case on Hannon is a polio case, a 5-year-old child. We're going to stand by the Rancho Los Alamos is notified, and the ambulance has been dispatched on this case. We'll notify you by phone.
Let's move into the house. Uniformed Officer Al George in the doorway here. Yes, sir. It's a little girl about 5, and it hit her in the lung. The rescue squad has the respirator working on her.
Is that her mother over there with her?
Yeah, we have an iron lung ruling from the General Hospital, and she should be here before long.
Okay, let's go in and stand by.
Into the front room. A youngster lying on blanket on the table. Blonde, tiny. Fireman on either side. One applying oxygen mask. Other handling equipment. Mother standing over child, outwardly calm. Anxiety written on her face. Doctor standing by.
Breathe with it.
In reality, we're using the inhalator, not the respirator, since the child is breathing partially on her own. Actually, this mask over the face just gives her a helping hand.
I know it's hard, sweetheart. I know it's hard. That ambulance should be here any minute now, baby. Don't make a big siren noise. He does it, baby.
It's getting down pretty low.
Changing oxygen cylinders. Mask off temporarily.
I'm going to have another chance, girl. Nothing
touching that,
sweetheart.
Trying to get the new one on.
Open wide, baby.
Put the airways, Joe.
There we are. Mask on again.
Should I turn it up? Yeah, Joe.
Huh?
Yeah, turn it up to high. She seems to be responding to this oxygen. You
yeah.
See the color coming
yeah,
back?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah, she's responding to it. Come on, honey, now a real deep breath here. As much of this in as you can.
Let's hope that's the iron lung.
That's not the end of, is that the end of the shift?
Yeah. Checking out the window. Ambulance with iron lung. Wheeling in the stretcher, we'll move the portable inhalator out to the ambulance, then put the child in the iron lung.
Are you ready to move her?
Are they all set?
Right
on the blanket here.
Okay.
All right.
Moving out the door. Motor of the iron lung working. Child being placed in the lung. Mother sitting alongside. Mother, how calm she was, Perk?
Yeah, probably that control saved the youngster's life.
Unit 40 clear. 5-6 code 1. Unit 5, are you on the air?
5-6, Roger, go ahead.
1 to 5-6, will you 10-19 to the burglary detail?
5-6, check. We'll be in the station about 10 minutes.
What you have just heard was real. That iron lung, that child, that happened on the night watch. Your dimes and dollars are needed in the fight against infantile paralysis. $64 million to be exact. A dime today is a newspaper, a candy bar, or enough electricity to keep an iron lung breathing for 4 hours. Give to the March of Dimes today. And now we switch you back to Detective Unit 5-6, somewhere in the field, and to the official police recorder, Don Reed.
It's almost midnight, and we're en route to pick up a burglary suspect. It's been almost an hour's run out to this outlying district. We've been delayed because of a heavy fog that's lying up next to the mountains. We're on the right street now, so it'd just be a matter of seconds. In the back seat, Madlock and Southwick from burglary. Adjusting equipment. Must be the one on the right.
You, I'm going to go past it just a little bit.
Numbers on the curb checks. We'll drive by a couple of houses, and we'll walk back in the dark.
Take the front quick and I'll cover the rear.
Suspect's house. Small bungalow. Rear of lot. Fog's thick. Cut down the visibility. Detective Southwick, Perkins, covering the rear. We'll go to the front. Young woman, probably wife of suspect, standing behind door, whispering.
She is, okay. Nice to come in with the rest.
Didn't say anything important.
Very important.
What is it?
Well, we've got to talk to your husband about
I'll be here tomorrow for sure, I know, because he promised to break me out. I'm sure you'll
wife, nervous, whispering. Husband not home. Perkins, Southwick around the building.
One inside here.
Where'd you find him?
Come on out the rear window. Well, if you didn't think you were hot, how come you tried to beat it out of the window when we identified ourselves as police officers?
Well, I thought it was a traffic ticket. I didn't want to go to court. I wanted to find out what it was about.
That's the way to do it, boy. That's a pretty silly thing to do, honey, to tell the officers not here. I'm standing in the back
of the
gun.
Well, I told her to. Well, I thought it was for a traffic ticket, is what I thought it was about.
He'd have turned one way and ran. That would have been it.
And what is it? Well, as of now, you're under arrest and suspicion of burglary.
Burglary? What?
Where?
Are you one of the boys that had tried to pass a check down at the bank the other day?
No.
Your car was identified.
Well, it wasn't me.
Well, you're going to have to go with us back to Culver City. Then you're on your own. I'll take him, Wick. Why don't you guys shake his car down out there in the driveway?
Flashlights out. The front, back seat. Checking the glove compartment. What do you know? A gun.
Pellet gun. Another one of those. Well, that's a good little thing to have now, isn't it? That's a mean looking weapon. I wish we could find just one of those checks, though.
Well, what?
It was $2,600 worth. Only about $500-$600 in cash.
Under seat, crowbar, burglary tools.
Go right with it. Take that. Take it. Keep that. Might be able to come up with a little evidence for you. Force the door. Get the gun.
Well, gun, tools, prisoner in custody. It's going to be a long ride back. Next up, police headquarters. We're in the detective bureau. In custody, a burglary suspect. Our evidence, the suspect along with his car has been identified when he attempted to cash checks taken from a service station that was broken into. Southwick, Madlock, burglary detail. I'll handle the questioning.
So we bought a house too, aren't you?
Where do you have a bank account?
I don't have them. I'm not allowed to have one.
Does your wife have a bank account?
She can't have one either. We're both on parole.
Both on parole. What for?
Forging.
Forging?
Do you want to tell us anything or do you want us to lay it before you?
Well, you tell me what it's supposed to be in here for.
We had a burglary in our town. We had $2,600 in checks, $600 in cash taken. Somebody attempted to cash one of the checks. He then went out and got into your car. Four different witnesses saw him.
You pull a burglary?
I don't pull no burglary.
You know who did?
No.
You take a lie detector examination?
A what?
A lie detector examination? Do you object to taking one?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah.
Tell the truth, you got nothing to worry about.
That's right.
Tell them a lie, well, you're going to have plenty to worry about, believe me.
I've got plenty to worry about already.
I've had that told to me before, too. I've been hauling before for questioning.
Well, if you've got anything else to say, why, you know where you stand, kiddo.
Suspect agreed to a lie detector test. Being returned to the detention room. Let's move across the hall where the equipment is kept. Officer Chuck Sarlo works the lab. Lie detector's new to the department.
Chuck, I guess Wick told you they were bringing in that burglary suspect.
Well, I've
I've seen a couple of these work. But this guy is a real cocksure of himself. How are you going to work this deal with him?
Don, I have a number of questions here, which some are non-crucial, some are crucial. And we will ask him the non-crucial questions first to establish his norm. And after we find out his norm, we will ask him the so-called $64 questions. Now, you name some of the non-crucial questions. Questions that we know the answer to. Are you married? And we know he's married because his wife called and he admitted he's married. And do you own a 52 Mercury, blue in color? And I talked to the suspect. He agrees that he owns a 52 Mercury, blue in color. And were you ever arrested for forgery? Well, he's agreed that he has been arrested for forgery, and we know he has, and he's also spent some time in jail for forgery. And are you wearing a white T-shirt? Are you now wearing a white T-shirt? And having just talked to him, I observed that he was wearing a white T-shirt. Now, these questions may seem foolish to the naive person. However, they're not. And the questions are merely to indicate what his norm is, what he would normally answer to truthful questions. And the history of lie detection, for instance, the Chinese found years ago that if you they questioned a number of suspects by giving them a mouthful of rice, they would have them chew this rice for 5 minutes. And each suspect, at the end of 5 minutes, was allowed to spit the rice on top of a table and examined for its moisture content. And the guilty suspect, internal secretions were less, and he was, found guilty. They knew then, for instance, thousands of years ago, that there were physiological changes which occur in the human body when people lie. And this machine is even more sensitive, and also there's an involuntary motion frequently of the hands or the feet, or a loss of direct contact by the eyes. Incidentally, this is not a lie response, it's an emotional response, which is a physiological change. In this particular recording, the individual, when he lies, measures an electrical dermal response, which is when you perspire slightly more than you lie.
Chuck, if you're ready, we've got the suspect out here.
I'm ready whenever you are.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's bring him in.
Suspect leaning outside the door. Strolling in now. Casually, hands in pockets. Witnesses, Madlock, Southwick from burglary. Lieutenant Conlon, Sergeant Perkins. Suspect calm, unperturbed.
Hearing to take this test.
No. Sorry with me. The one that only had no needles or anything stuck in
you. You're not going to have any needles stuck in you. There's no pain. There's no physical torture. There's nothing to this. You won't be shocked. There'll be no electricity put into you or anything. There'll be certain attachments that have to be placed on.
Except for the intricate mechanism behind this, it appears similar to the attachment used by a doctor taking blood pressure.
I'm going to ask you these non-crucial questions first to determine your norm on this indicator. I know you're nervous, anybody would be who's taking this test, and this machine will make allowances for your nervousness. And first question, did you eat today?
Yes.
And are you... Now, are you married?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you own a 52 Merc, blue in color?
Yes.
Normal questions. Machine regulated. Meter ready.
These are all questions that we know the answer to. You understand that, right? Were you ever arrested for forgery?
Yes.
60 for his normal reaction.
Are you now wearing a white T-shirt?
Yes.
Normal.
And have you served time for forgery?
Yes.
Normal.
And are you now on probation?
Parole.
Okay.
Officer Sarlo writing this down.
Okay, now just relax. Now all subsequent questions will be regarding the crime itself, and only the suspect who is guilty or has knowledge of the crime will actually show on the machine. Now, did you ever case, you know what I mean by case this gas station prior to committing this safe burglary job?
No.
Okay.
Needle jumped about 110.
Did you enter the gas station through the rear door and then through the window?
No.
This night in question. What's the answer now?
No.
No. Did you pile tires around the safe in order to hide your activity there?
No.
Do you recognize the top of the safe?
Is the top of the safe here now? Do you recognize it?
No.
Showing him the picture?
You make those marks shown on the top of the safe.
All the crucial questions answered thus far in the lie column.
Make those marks shown on the top of the safe?
No.
Did you break open the safe at this gas station yourself?
No.
Did any of your friends break it open?
No.
You know who did break open the safe at this gas station?
No.
Why don't you look at this machine when I answer you that question? Just watch for it.
The suspect will watch his own reaction this time.
Do you know anyone who did break open the safe?
No.
Speak up, I never.
No.
You don't know anyone who broke open the safe?
No.
Did you break it open?
No.
Reaction. Twice normal. Expression the same.
Did you ever try to cash any checks that were stolen from this safe job?
No.
Have you been contacted by friends who were in camp with you or jail for the purpose of participating in other criminal jobs?
I was at one time. It was when I first got out. They're in San Quentin, you know.
Truth again.
Does your wife have any knowledge about the burglary or about the checks?
No.
Do you have any checks hidden at your house?
No.
All the no answers bouncing on the wrong side.
Slow down a little bit. Relax a little bit. I'll ask you that question again. Do you have any checks hidden at your house anyplace?
No.
Same reaction.
Did you ever hold up anybody with that gun that's found in your car?
No. I've only had the gun a week.
What did you buy the gun for?
For target practice. It's been used only in the backyard and in the house.
That's showing a true reaction.
Let me ask you two more questions here to sum up. And that way, find whether or not you've told the truth regarding all previous questions and answers, and give you a chance to relax and think about it before you answer these questions. First question, have you told the detectives the complete truth regarding this burglary?
Yes.
Back to the other side again.
Have you told the complete truth here to me on this test?
Yes.
You know, fella, in court, this lie detector test won't prove you're guilty. But you know you're guilty. And we know you're guilty. When we get through showing you to the people that saw you in that bank, I've got a hunch the DA will go along with it, too. I'll take him back and book him on suspicion of burglary, Lieutenant, if you're through with him.
Yeah.
Okay, you know your way out. Let's go.
What you have just heard is real. Recorded as it actually happened on The Night Watch. We switch you now to headquarters and the office of the Chief of Police, W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's first case in which our units assisted the fire department on an in-a-letter call shows just one of the many types of activities encountered by your police department that the public doesn't normally associate with police work. Incidentally, the youngster was placed in an iron lung and is now well on her way to recovery. Now for tonight's burglary investigation. In real life, things many times fail to go according to plan. Although the officers were convinced this suspect was guilty of the burglary, and the lie detector test backed up this opinion, still, they were unable to gather enough court evidence to hold this suspect on the charge. Consequently, he was released 2 days later. But the investigating officers were not about to give up. They were sure if he could be kept under observation, it would be just a matter of time until he went back to the crime of burglary. Officers of his local community were alerted and supplied with a complete data and MO, method of operation, of the suspect. 3 days of stakeouts, and he was caught dead to rights in the act of another burglary. This time, he did not escape. Tonight, as you have followed Detective Unit 5-6, I am sure you have observed no department can operate independently. It must have full cooperation of the citizens as well as the other police departments throughout the area. If we have pointed this out tonight, then we have a meaning for Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty on the Night Watch. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch is brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by the official police recorder, Don Reed. Night Watch is produced for CBS Radio by Sterling Tracy and Jim Hadlock.